I feel like I'm beep, 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 beeping. We've been in Joseph. We've been with Joseph in Genesis. Are we good? Are we there? Okay, thank you. We're in Genesis here, and we're up to 42. We'll be through 42 through 45 today, all that we can get read to that point. You know, I want to remind you of what happened to Joseph in chapter 37 of Genesis. Y'all remember what happened to him? Nothing ever happened to him, right? Nobody took his coat. Nobody killed a kid lamb and put blood on it. Nobody threw him in a cistern. Nobody sold him to the Ishmaelites. Nobody did that, right? Yeah. And then they went back and told Dad, and it's like, no, I don't know what happened to him. He died. Here's his coat. Lie upon lie, and they ate the kid lamb, the center of their sin, if you will. Lied to Dad. Didn't even care about Dad's feelings. Not at all. Didn't even care about his feelings. Or they wouldn't have killed his son. They were so upset that he was prophesying. You know, you have to be very mindful when you're working with God's people, because you don't know what God's doing with folks. You may see some kid that's way off the deep end or off the charts, you know, or some adult or whatnot, and God's going to just latch onto them and bring them in. You know, my dad was 67 when he came to know the Lord. 67. You've heard the numbers before, 70 above, 1% come to know Jesus Christ. 99% are available. You think you want to know what to do with the mission field? Get into senior housing. You can mission all day long. And don't bring any wackadoo stuff in there. Come in just with the word and a lot of love and learn a couple of old hymns. If you don't know them, just hum them. They'll know the words, believe me. So it's about a 20-minute segment when you teach, because when you do teach, they're like, go right to sleep. It's okay. It's okay. The Holy Spirit soothed them. It wasn't you boring them. You got to be careful when you're working with God's people, because you'll not be able to assess the talent that God already sees in the person that doesn't look like talent based on the world's perspective. Does that make sense? Don't ask me to repeat. The deal is this. They were jealous, and they were so worried about doing the wrong, or they would not have been up in Dothan instead of where they were supposed to be, in Shechem, I believe. Shechem, I believe. And they were there. And, oh my gosh, why are you here? You're supposed to be down there. Why did Dad send you? Because I'm trustworthy at 17. And he had brothers old enough to be his dad and weren't. You know, it's like, really? So think about it. We're here. They've gone through the whole dream scene, right? They've gone through the whole, they're going through the famine. And there's just not a time during this time where they don't sit together and there's one missing. Or they'll talk about, you know, the blood, they'll cut a goat, you know, and prep it. Or one of the servants would cut a goat and prep it, and they see it. You can't tell me that there's a time they didn't go back and think about what they had done. Maybe when they drew water out of a well, or even saw a dry socket or a dry well, you know, that they didn't think about this time. Wasn't a caravan that went by with goods, because they didn't show up in a 7-Eleven truck. There wasn't a caravan van that didn't go by that they didn't think about. Or maybe the next time they went up to Dothan, you know, to feed the livestock. Sorry, I'm a cattleman. That they didn't think about that. And then to even hear the word Egypt, you know darn good and well what they did. They sold them to the Ishmaelites and sent them down south, right? Well, we're kind of picking up in a point where the brothers are going to go to Egypt. Why? Because there's a drought. You know, here, if we can't grow corn, we'll just go buy it somewhere else in the world and bring it. There, if you don't have crops, you got to go where the crop is, right? You guys that were with us with Ruth, you remember those studies in that part as well, where they had to move on. We saw that earlier in Genesis twice. So we'll be in 42 and 1, and Lord, please, as you see fitting your word, show us, because, not because we're so selfish, but because we're so selfish, Lord, show us, that we can understand more about grace abounding and mercy without boundaries. In your name, everybody said amen. When Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to one another, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down to a place that you may buy for us there, that we may live and not die." Why do you think they were looking at one another? We got Egypt here. We got Egypt on deck, right? And they're going, "Do Can we take Joseph there? And then they're kind of, you know, you got 10 guys kind of looking at one another. Egypt, oh my God. You know, when you've done something wrong and then you haven't confessed or you haven't dealt with it because these guys lied about what they did with their brother, and then you're going to have to go in and face it. Tell me you don't go to a neck of the woods that you had trouble in. Maybe you came from another part of the country or town or world across the way. And you go back into that area and you're thinking, oh my God, if I see that person. You know, I just did a 2-week trip down to Texas. I'd been in the military on that base for 42 years. I went down there and man, all the thoughts of my debaucherous ways came to mind. I was like, oh Lord, please don't let me see anybody that I screwed over or they screwed me over. And if so, Father, let forgiveness abound even if they hate me. That they'll be unhooked or unhinged from what I've done to them and they to me. And you know they thought about that stuff, you know, bringing back to remembrance all that they'd done. Oh my gosh. You know, you sit there and think when somebody's gone, and you know, many of you know that we've had quite a few, 24 deaths out of this church in the last year or so and change, and it's been tough times. And you know, when people die, it's kind of hard to tell a story about them, you know, in the beginning. And then you tell a story and you may chuckle a little bit and you're like, oh, I feel guilty for that. No, it's okay. It's part of the healing process because you're remembering the things that made you laugh about them in the first place, you know. Can you hear the stories being told about their Joseph? You know, and then finally Dad may crack a smile because, you know, he was pain deeply, wounded deeply by that, right? Finally, he may crack a smile. And when he does crack a smile, and the guys around, yeah, I remember that. You know, the face will tell you 1,000 things, but the eyes will tell your soul. Because, you know, in their eyes when they looked, there was depth of darkness that had happened because they didn't unfold from the lie. 15 years, by the way, it's been since they told that lie. 15 years. A lot of time to come to Jesus on that. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not want to send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. You know, to this day, my grandsons, I still have a grandson who's 12 down in Texas, but my grandsons that live here in town, to this day, when we go to a restaurant and they go into the bathroom, I still go into the bathroom ahead of them, or I want to know what's going on. I still go in there and check everything out to see who's in there and how long I assess they're going to be in there when my grandsons go in, even though one's 18 and the other's 15, right? Yep, 15. I still check that. I don't want them hurt. I don't want them damaged. You know, I don't want anything to happen to them that happened to me, right? So I go in and I check things out. I make sure the lay of the land. That's what a father does. That's what a sentinel does. And him not sending Benjamin, all that concern, all that challenge of losing his beloved Joseph is now placed on Benjamin. That's his Rachel. You guys remember how much he loved Rachel, right? And he had to go a few weeks back about 4 months ago, we were 5 months ago, we were talking about just the uncle who dealt poorly with him and waiting on Leah and then Rachel. This is Rachel. This is his firstborn of Rachel and the struggle she had for kids. All that passion is there, and Benjamin's number two and last from her, his first love. No, I'm not sending him down. Dude, you couldn't do much. I always had to send Joseph after you to watch out over the land. What you were doing with my crop, which was your inheritance. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold all the people to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized him, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "We're from the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers. Dude, it's been 15 years. He's 32 years old. He's the governor. Dad would be proud of him, I'm sure. He's the governor of all that's there. He's the right-hand man. He is the signet ring. It doesn't just that he has it. He is the signet for Pharaoh. Anything he says, except anything that we regard over Pharaoh, was all within his grasp. Right? He's the governor. You don't think, I mean, we look at Joseph and there's so many Christ-likeness characters throughout the entire story of that, which we'll enumerate next week or whenever as God sees fitting. Yet we see one that he's frustrated and angered. We see his humanity here. How would you be? I'm going to tell you something. You know what it's like when you walk up to somebody you've been at odds with for a while and you try to talk with them? How's that go for you? You don't even want to drive over to their house, do you? Because you know in your heart that it's like, no, I don't want to even talk. Just let me be here. It's just simple and safe, and I don't have to confront anybody, let alone try to distribute grace and mercy and trust God with the outcome of forgiveness. Right? Because that's what we do, but he's got to face them. And now a little bit of the side of the tent is opened up. We can see up under there. I'd be mad. Dude, I don't know if you know anything about me, but I go flush red face in a heartbeat when things don't go well. Now, my anger is way curbed to where it was before. But if unchecked by the word, unchecked by the Holy Spirit, I can get pretty darn mad pretty darn quick, especially if somebody has done a wrong. I was thinking, I don't know why that popped in. I was sitting there. We were at a Coors Field out in left field. Go figure. And we were about six or seven rows up watching the game, and I got my arm in a sling. You know, I just had surgery done, and about five or six rows down, almost down a second row up from the base, I saw two drunks fighting. You know, we're about midway in, and the usher was sitting there just watching them fight. And I'm like, that ain't right. This is a game. That ain't right. And I'm trying to get up out of the seat to go down there. I want to knock you out, you know. And Mary Lou grabs me and sets me back down. I was like, oh, okay, I guess so. Probably hurt my arm. That'd be stupid. You kind of want to jump in there when an injustice has happened, and you should. Guided by the Spirit, obviously, or you get your muffin kicked, for sure. He was a governor over all the land in 6, and it was he who sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him. You remember the dream? Sequence 1 hit here. Bound down to him and their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized him, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. And then he said to them, where do you come from? I want to reiterate that. Where do you come from? He's bringing them up to the point of their lives. You remember when Jesus talks to us, when we're at negative side with him, he always in Scripture will bring up that person's sin or the challenge or the correction that he wants to make happen to the forefront of their thinking. And once it's there, he deals with them in that matter. Then he said to them, where do you come from? They said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed about them and said to them, you're spies. You've come to see the nakedness of the land. You come to see our weak points of the land. And they said to him, no, my Lord, but your servants, we have come to buy food. We are all one man's son. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. Oh, my gosh. We are honest men, but we lied to our dad. We lied all the above. We killed our brother. You know, that's just hard. I mean, sometimes you ever know when you're fixing to tell a lie and you tell that lie and you kind of like, yeah, okay, and then stumble through reaffirmation to reinforce the lie. You know, you tell a lie long enough, it becomes a truth to you, even though it's still a lie. But at that core, that seed of that lie is still that lie. Were your servants not spies? 12, but he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man. He didn't ask them how many they are. They just offered that. It is as I spoke to you, saying, you're spies. In this matter you shall be tested. Oh, did I jump? I did. Sorry. I do it all the time. The sons of man in the land of Canaan. In fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. He didn't ask for all that. TMI. But Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, you're spies. In this manner you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. What? On my mother's grave, this ain't happening. That's the same kind of swear, only Pharaoh. And I know some of you call it Pharaoh. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison with that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Then Joseph said to them on the third day, so 3 days have passed. He's had time to think. Y'all ever make decisions that are rash when you're upset? How's that working for you? So listen, parents, young parents, grandparents, when the kids come to you, say, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, can I do this? Sure. What does your mother say? No, guys, stop that silliness. Don't say, what does your mother say? You're the spiritual head of the home. I say, you know what? We're not going to decide anything until mom and I talk. Go talk with mom. Get her counsel. Then you make the decision. You're spiritual head of your homes, right? You're the one that's responsible for your family. Well, that's not fair. What about the gals? You just had your input. He gets to take all the flack. You just get the input. Isn't that cool? Remember, in a ring of marriage, there's not a red and blue corner. It's not husband facing wife. You're both in the blue corner. She's your cut man. You're the one that goes out after the battle. If you don't know what boxing is, go look it up. Then Joseph said to them on the third day, it's good to take a chill when you're angry. If you have to make a decision, you know, there's something I've learned in my life that if I have to make a decision right now, my decision will be no, because I haven't had time to think it through. You know, when somebody comes to my door or jumps on the phone, they'll say, hey, would you like to buy this? You know, first of all, I'm a bottom line guy. Get to the point. Don't give me your script. What are you selling? What do you got? What's the value to me? That's all I want to know. Okay, it's no. You know what? Can I take time and talk with my wife about it? You know, we can always get another meeting. Can I take that time and talk to her? Let me know. Look, my answer is no. Why don't you go ahead and get on to the next person? I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to waste my time. You need time to think things through, thoroughly, or at least a greater degree in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph said on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. A little insight. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me so that your words will be verified and you shall not die. Instead of keeping nine, sending one, he had a reversal of thought. And not only did he have a reversal of thought, he had a subsistence need. They needed substance, they needed grain, they needed certain levels of food. And he says, had he just done the other way, he may not have packed them up with food right away. Dad needs food. Benjamin needs food. His motivating cause, one of them, is to see his brother. Or he wouldn't have said earlier on, let me see him here. And they did so. 21, then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we shall see the anguish of his souls and when he pleaded with us. And we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Do you know what happened here when Simeon got booked and put into prison? They remembered right then and there. They probably heard the anguish. No, brothers, don't stay. Plead with him. Nobody wants to be incarcerated, especially if you think you've done nothing wrong or ill-accused. We're honest men. Quotations. Reuben answered them in 22, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Told you so. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. We gotta pay. There's a decision that needs to be paid for. But they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter, and he turned himself away from them and wept. He saw their heart being changed. Inappropriate because of their actions, that is. He saw their hearts changed and changing right there. And Reuben, the oldest, is bringing to remembrance that which they did, which was wrong, based on the Simeon. Turned away and wept. Let me tell you something. When you've been wronged and something changes, you can't hold your emotion. You've been holding that emotion and that tension for 15 years. You remember the story I told you about the two women that had been in tension for 52 years, and they were only the siblings to one another, no brothers, no other children. 52 years until they're so old that tension has stopped. And one of them's losing their mind and the other one's dying. And that was my mother and her aunt. See, when you sever and you don't make up, I lost out on an entire growing up of half of my family. I don't know. Some of you have stories that are different in depth oriented. That's just my story. So when I see them separated like that, and know that all that's gone bad in that way up until about a year and a half ago where they made up. And it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't any of that. They were strangers to one another. But God, you know what happened? I heard stories from both sides that they said it's as if those days didn't even happen. See, when you bear children, the pain of childbirth is immense, I'm told. Something to do with a bowling ball. And I don't want to know. Thanks for making me a man. But as soon as that child is among you, and you know, because some of you have multiple children, you have forgotten childbirth or you consider it worth it. You know, the pain of going through forgiveness restored, it is painful, it's hard, but the worth on the other side is so great, even if they never forgive or restore. You are released in that sense. Somebody want to tell me where I'm at? I'm in church. Okay, good. Sorry, I was in Kansas doing something. I don't even remember what I was doing. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks in 25, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give him provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys, the grain, and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. Guys, do you understand? This is like unmerited favor. They did nothing to favor getting their money back. Joseph is incrementally restoring here. Whether it's out of his pocket or Pharaoh's, I consider the former. So he said to his brothers, "My money has been restored, and there it is in my sack." And their hearts failed them. This is the big one. I'm having a heart attack. And they were afraid, saying to one another, "What is that God has done to us?" Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man who is the Lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies in the of the country." Oh, you're telling the story now, but you couldn't tell Joseph earlier. "But we said to him, 'We're honest men, Dad. We're not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan.' Then the man of the Lord of the country said to us, 'By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one, your brothers, here. Take the food for the famine and go to the households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you're not spies, but that you're honest men, and I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land.' Then it happened, as they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And then their father saw the bundles of money, and they were afraid. And Jacob, their father, said to them, 'You have bereaved me. Oh, you brought grief to my heart, and you want to take Benjamin? All these things are against me. Joseph is gone. You've been gone. There's a famine in the land. Everybody's hungry. We're getting thinner.'" In my case, it's good. "We're getting thinner. Now Simeon is gone. I can't trust you with the goats. I can't trust you with my son. I can't trust you with number two son. And you want to take Benjamin?" Do you feel that situation? Do you understand the emotion? It's easy to look at pages in black and white, but if you don't morph from a modernity perspective to that day and understand what that's like at a very gut level, this is an impassioned man, and the violations are surfacing, and the pain is surfacing, and he's got the loss of another child that's alive in this sense. "All these things are against me." Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, "Kill my two sons. If I do not bring him back to you, put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you." Do you see what's happening here? A change is happening. No longer are we worried about the coat of many colors and the blood on it. Now we're starting to care about that younger brother. Protective is starting to come to the surface, right? But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. In other words, you cause me more gray hair. 43, now the famine was severe in the land. It came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that way their father said to them, go back and buy us a little food. Do you notice he didn't send them right back with Benjamin? Joseph weighed that out, didn't he? He's like, Simeon, Benjamin, Simeon, Benjamin, Simeon, Benjamin. Simeon, stay away. Benjamin, stay near. But while he was coming to terms with the idea of famine and need for food, Simeon is waiting in jail. Did you catch that timeline? He's waiting because this one's making a decision. Simeon's getting a chance to have his jets cooled, right? Our decisions, our cause has an effect on other people. You throw a rock in a still water concentrically, waves will come. Go back and buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. He's going, Simeon's still there, Dad. We got to take Benjamin. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. In other words, you ain't coming to the governor's office. And Israel said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man that you still had another brother? Why? Who told you to spill the beans? But they said that the man asked pointedly about ourselves and our family, saying, is your father alive? Have you another brother? And we told him accordingly to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would be saying, bring your brother down? How do we know what the guy's brain is? In 8 of 43. Then Judah said to Israel, his father, Jacob, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, and that we may live and not die, both we and you and also our little ones. We need the grain, Dad. And myself will be surety. I will be the cosigner of my life for him. For my hand you shall require him from my hand. If I do not bring him back to you, set him before you and let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned his second time. Dad, if you wouldn't have waited, we could have made that trip and back by now. You guys know it's up around Israel, right? All the way to Egypt. That ain't a 3-hour flight or an hour and a half flight. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruit of the land. Did you catch that word, best? The best fruit of the land in your vessels and carry down as a present for the man. And a little balm. And a little honey and some spices, some myrrh, pistachio nuts, and some almonds. Dude, they're broke. They're poor. They got no crops available to them. Yet in that poverty, he is still sending a gentleman's gift. Do you understand? Take double the money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also, arise, go back to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I'm bereaved. If this is how it's going to be, this is just how it's going to be. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double the money in their hand, arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the steward of the house, take these men to my home, slaughter an animal, we're going to have Dickies for lunch. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph, the governor's house. And they said, it's because of our money, which was returned in our sacks the first time, that we're brought in, so that they may make a case against us and seize our take us as slaves with our donkeys. They're going to take it all from us. That's all they had. When they drew near the to the steward of Joseph's house. They talked with him at the door of the house and said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there's each man's money was in the mouth of the sack and full in weight, and we have brought it back in our hand, and Joseph is seeing them change with that change." They're being honest men now. "And we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food." So we have, this money is the potential oversight. This money is for, because we need everything we need to eat in sight. "We do not know who put our money in our sacks." But he said, "Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simeon out to them. Obviously, we'd have to go extra biblical or somewhat eisegetical to run that. My thought is simple. More than likely from his own pocket, he put the money back in there and kept faith. What belongs to, what goes to Rome is Rome's. What goes to God is God. So the man brought the men into the Joseph's house and gave them water and washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. And they made the present ready for Joseph coming at noon. And they heard that they would eat bread there. Oh my God, they haven't had grain in so long and nothing for the trip back. And when Joseph came home, they brought him a present which was in their hand, into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Second vision. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health and he's still alive." And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes, saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, your son." Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep, and he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out and restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." He saw his brother. He hasn't seen him since he was 15 years. And he sees his face, and the emotion is such that this governor over all of Egypt, which would be Rome or the U.S. today as far as their reach and grasp, all that's before him, yet he sees the love of his lineage that he hasn't seen his true family member, and he runs off, and he's got to get himself composed. He can't handle it. All right, let's eat bread, right? You feeling it? 32. So they set him a place by himself and them by themselves and the Egyptians, because the Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews. It was an abomination to them. For that is an abomination. Oh, there it is. An abomination to the Egyptians. The reason the governor sat separately because of his station in life. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his. And the men looked astonished at one another. And then they took servings to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Look, we're all sitting in order here. You know, last night, Mary made some corn tortillas, you know, that were like frozen and then heated up. And they're like so fresh. And she made street tacos. I'm going to tell you right now. Y'all can go out to eat wherever you want. Enjoy. But those street tacos, woman, you need to open a restaurant. That's just all they are to it. No, don't, because then you'll spoil it all and beat other people, and I won't get any thinner purposefully. But two street tacos times five is how many? Two times five is how many? Can you imagine me eating 10 street tacos? That's what it's like. Y'all just go out, whatever serving you get, and then go tenfold or fivefold or whatever that is. No, dude, that's a lot of food. 44, and he commanded Joseph, and he commanded the steward of the house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry. Put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money." So he did according to what Joseph had spoken, and as soon as the morning had dawned, the men were sent away, and they had gone to their donkeys, and there they had gone out of the city and were not yet afar off. Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men, and you overtake them. Why have you repaid evil for good? It is not from which my Lord drinks, and he indeed practices divination." which he doesn't, but that's what the cup is for. Joseph never practiced divination, but he said to say that. The study of water, if you will. They would look at the water to see how it would move and try to predict future based on that. Look, if there's water in a bottle and I stick it to my mouth, I can predict the future. It's going to go into my body and do something really good. You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them and he spoke the same words. And they said to him, why does the Lord say these words? Far be it from your servants, from us, that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back the money from the land of Canaan, the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver and gold from the house of the Lord, with whomever of your servants is found? Let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slave. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched, and he began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, which was a symbolic of pain and suffered heart. Okay, Dad, we let you down thrice. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I was certain, I can certainly practice divination? I can see before you what's happening. He's spoofing them there. Then Judah said, what will we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found our iniquity of your servants here, and we are my Lord's slaves, and both we and he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so, and the man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave, and as for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, O Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for we are 11. You are even like Pharaoh, like Lord. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And he said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he's left alone with his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father, the father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down, you shall not see my face anymore, no more. So it was that when we met up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back, buy a little food. But we said, we can't go down unless our younger brother goes with us. Then we will go down, for we will not see the face unless the younger brother is with us. Then your servant said to my father said to us, you know that my wife bore me 2 sons, and one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, a calamity befalls him and shall bring gray hair with sorrow to the grave down. 30. Now therefore, when I came to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up with the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow for the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame forever before my father. Therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the land as a slave to my Lord, and let the land go up from his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad's not with me, lest perhaps I see evil that would come upon my father? Do you see what happened? There was a switch. He just traded his life for Benjamin. They had matured. They understood sacrifice. That was the test. Why would Joseph do these things? Why would he even do these things? It's the test. to see where they are. Are they still the same guys we had before? Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by and cried out, "Make everyone go from me, leave." So none of them with him, while Joseph made known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. And the Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers couldn't answer him, for they were dismayed. And his they were like, "What's going on?" And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come to me, come near to me." So they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, for because you sold me here. For God sent me here to preserve life. For these 2 years the famine has been, and there's still going to be 5 years more of it in seven. And God sent me before you to serve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land." Father to Pharaoh is more of a kind of a counselor, if you will, not in true act of fathering, a position that would require that type of authority. In 9, "Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph.'" Stop. You have 9, 10 sons that go back, or 9 sons that would go back and now have to recant the lie they told. How long do you think dad's going to be in pain over that? But to know that his son's alive, it's a short pain, right? "God has made me Lord of Egypt. Come and dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near to me and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your house and hold all that I have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin. See that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all the glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father to me. I haven't seen him in 15 years. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And it's just like a hug, a shoulder hug type of thing. Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. And after this, brothers talked to him. Now the report of it was heard by Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brothers have come." So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants as well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart, and go to the land of Canaan. Bring to your father and the households and come to me, and I will give you the best land of Egypt," the best land of Egypt, "and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this, take the carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives so they don't have to walk. Bring your father and come. Also, don't be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours." Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. And he gave them provision of the journey. This is a good Pharaoh. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he had 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothes. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the goods of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread, food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed and said to them, "See that you do not become troubled along the way." Don't worry about it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Then they went out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive and he's governor over all the land." And Jacob's heart stood still because he didn't believe. What? 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 Do you understand that his whole world came back to him and the confusion and perplexing thing? But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Before, when we read out of 37, it took him, nobody could come in and counsel Jacob. And now that's not a problem. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive, and I will go and see him before I die." Can you guys... Wow, what grace, huh? Seriously, think about this. What grace, what mercy. Do you understand that this is true grace? and true mercy, unmerited favor, not getting what you deserve. He had every right, humanistically speaking, to wipe them out, yet he did not. That only can come with spending time with God. The time that you need, listen, the time that you need to forgive somebody is now, before you do communion. The time that you need to start being graceful to somebody is now, before communion. The time that you need to show them great mercy, great grace, great mercy, great forgiveness is now. I don't know who's in your head right now or who's in your heart that is darkened in that facet within your heart, but that needs to come clean and come clean now. We're not going to have you talk about it out loud. That's between you and the Lord. I don't want to hear your business. I don't want to see your laundry. You don't want to see mine. But I'm going to tell you something. That 52 years, this 15 years, this grace, this mercy, these relationships being restored needs to come now and be settled now. And you, Christian, need to be the bearer of that grace and mercy. You need to be the bearer of that. Does God hold a grudge? Not upon a repentant heart. For us? But not for long. A grudge cannot be held for long. Stop it if it's in you. If it's not and you're free for that, then as you come up in your heart, do that happiness. I got a cookie. I don't carry it anymore. Right? But if not, that's got to go away, y'all. Please. Do business with the Lord before you come up. Don't take communion in a profane way. If communion has become so regimented because it's here every Sunday and it's not special, just bypass it for now. Until you really get what you've been forgiven. Until you really understand that. That those nails that you slung the hammer on or held the nail or that fist full of facial fur that you pulled from him is remembered, not to add considered burden and tax you, but you remember what he has done. Because a father who gave everything he could to try to help appease his son, Benjamin, we had a father that gave his son to appease all of us in his eyes. And so the regimen of communion is available, spirit-led, obviously. This time is your time with the Lord. This time is your time with your brothers and sisters, seatmates. This time is a time for you to go before the Lord and purge that garbage. And I like to say crap. Oh, because that's all it's good for. Because you got to remember, lastly, that when he came into this world in your life, he willfully by design, jumped into a septic tank to take you out of it. If we say we're without sin, the truth's not in us, and we call God a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.